Pastor Dr. Tim and Barbara Odom will be here. Amen. Amen. So that one, I will say that one. And that's all. Oh, May 4th. When is that? Yeah, it is. At Mojave Community College, room 600 at 6 o'clock. Amen. It'd be great if you could be there. If not, okay, thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name, and we thank you for everything that you're doing, for everything you've done, and for everything you will do. And Father God, I yield myself right now in the mighty name of Jesus to you, to the anointing. Whatever you would have for this congregation, Father God, I thank you it will come out, because my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truth from your word this evening that I didn't even plan on saying. So I thank you, Father God, for the pastoral office that you placed on my life to help lead, help shepherd, Father God, help shepherd and help teach. And so I thank you. And I also thank you for the teaching anointing that's on my life. I thank you, Father God, for light, illumination, and revelation this evening. I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, because, Father God, I know for a fact it's not me. I absolutely know for a fact it's not me, because during school and everything, it was hard for me to do anything there, and they ended up saying I was dyslexic and all this stuff. So I by far know it's got nothing to do with me, but everything to do with the anointing and that you placed on my life. And so I thank you for it in advance, Father God. I thank you for it in advance. And I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be talking about you need your faith built up so God is able to tell you your next move. Amen. I figured that'd be y'all's response. Amen. Amen. Let me say a few things real fast. It says, if your mouth will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, then your heart will feed your mouth faith when you do need it. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we're sitting around saying that we don't know what to do next, whenever God is waiting on us or them to build our faith so that we're able to receive the next step. Yes. Amen. Because it takes faith to be able to do things, right? I wrote down a few examples because let's talk about, like, if God tells somebody to do something before their faith is there, then that's when we get a lot of the, there's no way I can do that. I can't do that. There's no way. How am I going to be able to do that? Or I've heard this, well, you know, I'll do that as soon as I retire. As soon as, you know, I only got a few more years with this job, and then I'll start doing what God asked me to do. Amen. See, because if our faith isn't there yet, then we ain't going to step out and do the next step. So God's not going to tell us the next step because our faith ain't there to support it. Amen. Amen. Because that's where we get to, well, there's no way that's impossible. We can't do that. I can't do that. How's that even possible? Well, our faith isn't there yet. Amen. Y'all okay? Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, we're going to make it, and we're going to make it out alive. Amen. Go over to Genesis 17, please. Genesis 17, Genesis 17, verse 17, King James is fine. That'll work. A lot of times people will move. We obviously know that because of a raise or something. God didn't say nothing about moving, but they'll go because of money. But if God asks them to do something, they won't do it. Yeah. Right? Because they don't think that, number one, you know, either I've got great medical insurance right now. I can't afford not to be working here, God. So, you know, give me a little bit and then I'll do what you ask me to do. Right. See, so our faith isn't built up to where it can support us. See, and I'm going to be real frank with y'all for a minute. A lot of times we think that we have faith whenever we just really have faith in our job. Because let's say we lost our job tomorrow, where would our faith take us? Would our faith be able to sustain me if I lost my job, my wife lost her job tomorrow? Would it be able to sustain us right now? Amen. That's a question we got to ask ourselves sometimes. We really do. We got to do self-checkups, right? Amen. And I'm not telling you to do a self-checkup on your spouse. It's not your job. Amen. Amen. Then Abraham fell upon his face and what? And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? See, Abraham's faith really wasn't there yet. Hence, he laughed at God. Well, God said, you're going to have a kid. You're crazy. There ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm 100 years old. God, you talking to the wrong one. Not only am I 100, not only am I old, look at my wife. She ain't never had a kid. And so his faith obviously wasn't there to sustain what his next step was, what God wanted him to do next. So are we constantly feeding our faith? I can't emphasize the importance behind feeding our faith daily. I really can't. I truly cannot. That's when you'll start getting irritable, getting touchy. Things will start kind of getting to you. If a problem kind of comes up or something, like an extra bill or somebody's sick or we got to do this, you'll be a little touchy. Yeah. You'll be a little touchy and be like, what do you mean this is going on? Because whenever we was full, we wouldn't have answered like that.
That's true. Yeah. Very true.
At all. Because whenever we is full, we'd have said the word. We'd have been like, well, that doesn't matter because God said he supplies all my needs. Or by his stripes I am healed. This sickness is not allowed here. Amen. Or if a problem comes up in the family, that doesn't matter what's going on.
Amen.
But whenever we're not full or feeding on the word of God, things will make us touchy. Yeah. And then we'll start answering differently. So if you want to know where your faith is at, what have your answers been lately?
Amen.
What have your answers been lately? On anything. If something came up, what was the answer?
Yep.
If it wasn't the word, then we're lacking.
Yes,
we are lacking. We're lacking on feeding. Just, and you know, I've said it before, just like our natural body needs food, our spirit man has to have the word of God.
Yes.
He's got to have it.
Amen.
And how do you think Abraham got to a place to where he stopped laughing? And say, God, you are faithful and you are true to what you said.
Yes.
He had to continually walk with God every few months. See, that's how we think, though. And that's why our Bible sits there untouched. Man, hallelujah. Well, look, y'all smile, please. Amen. Abraham had to walk with God every single day because God said, go, and he had to say, all right. But he obviously, at this point, he laughed. He said, there's no way. Why? Because his faith, which is a trust, wasn't there yet. He didn't truly, or a belief, he truly did not believe God was able to do what he said. He didn't. He said, there's no way, God. I understand you're God and you created everything, but you can't cause me to have a kid. There's no way. Because natural laws say that you have to be between this age to have a kid, and I'm past that age. So there's no way physically possible for me to do this. There's no way. So I think you're messed up, God. You're confused. I think you might be talking to my brother-in-law or something. Might be talking to my neighbor. I don't think it's me, though. And a lot of times we'll have those conversations with God like he's crazy. Like he doesn't know what he's talking about. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed because his faith wasn't there. Our faith is so important. It's so important. And we have to constantly feed our faith daily on the word. We have to constantly feed our faith daily on the Word of God. How do you think you get your trust built up in God, where you truly know who God is? How did you get to know your spouse? I don't know why we think it's different with God. I mean, the same way we got to know our spouse to where we was like, you know what, I'm going to marry them. We obviously got to where we knew who they were. We knew what they like, what they don't like, where they like to go, what kind of fun they like to have. We knew them. Why? Because we studied them. Why did we study them? Because we really liked them. And we wanted to know them intimately. So that we can further hang out and just become intimate with each other then. The same thing is with God. The same thing. He wants to know you. And either we want to know him or not. It's our choice, right? Holy cow. Where? This is why we didn't do announcements. Amen. Thank you, God. All right. Go to Genesis 18:12, please. I'm going to talk a little faster. We'll be good. Genesis 18, verse 12. Excuse me. It says, therefore, Sarah, what? Saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? So there ain't no way. God is, he's definitely crazy at this point, because he really don't know how old I am. Not only that, I ain't never had a kid. So obviously something just ain't working, and I'm past age now. That's a double no. See, she knew more about herself than she did God. She knew more about her situation than she did God. She knew more about her problem than she did God. Sometimes, y'all heard me say it before, I got it from Brother Hagin, people educate their head at the expense of their heart. They learn too much about the natural things, and so it'll affect them spiritually, because now whenever they need to believe God for something, they'll be like, well, can God do that? Because, I mean, I was reading over here, and unless your credit score and stuff is like this, you really can't buy this house right there. Amen. But you don't understand how my salary works. You know, the way my checking account works is, amen. She laughed within herself, right? And then the Lord said unto Abraham, I'll just read the rest of this. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for who? The Lord. Amen. Yeah, is anything too hard for God? No, nothing's too hard for him. No. Amen, I agree. Turn over to Genesis 22, please. Excuse me. We'll start about verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham kicked around the idea for a while, because this was his first son that he received. Well, actually his second, but the one from Sarah, right? And so he is like, you know, God, I don't know yet. How did Abraham go from laughing to getting up early the next morning and saddling the donkey? Faith is also a trust. He learned God. He learned God. He learned how God operated, and he learned God's ways. He learned that he could truly 100% trust God.
Amen.
100%. And a lot of times, if we really think about it, whenever if God asks us to do something and we're hesitant, it's because we truly don't trust God. Because we truly don't think He's able to either multiply the seed that we're sowing, multiply the time that we're sowing. Amen. Amen. Because we truly were not there. Well, how do we get there? How did Abraham get there? How did he go from laughing at God to get up? We're getting up before the sunlight even gets up. We're up and we move into the mountain. From laughing to we move into the mountain before daylight. Spending time. How do you spend time with God? Number one is Word. Word is always there. Word is always there, and that's a great way to get to know God. Well, it's hard for me to read it. No, it ain't if you got the Holy Ghost. No, it ain't. You just start reading the Word. Well, I can't. You keep saying you can't, and you won't be able to. You won't be able to understand nothing. Stop saying you can't. And stop saying you don't understand it. Because I thought the Holy Ghost was on the inside of us. The teacher. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood and burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Amen. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again. How? How do you know they would both come back again? Well, a lot of times when God will ask us to, I'm going to talk about me because I know me. When I was still learning with sowing and stuff like that, a lot, whenever God would ask me to sow something, you know, I'd sow it and I'd be like, well, hopefully we'll see each other again sometime. I'm not sure if we will or not. Amen. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Not only is he going to sacrifice Isaac, but he's making him carry all the tools. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Abraham said, my son, what? God will provide himself. God will provide himself. Amen. God will provide himself. Amen. God will provide himself. But God, how do you want me to do that? Number one, 9 times out of 10, you'll have the means or whatever to do whatever God's asking you to do. You will. I know there were, well, we'll talk about that later. Where are we at? God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering, right? Yes. God will provide himself. And so I got some stuff here I want to read to you. Abraham knew that God would provide himself with a lamb because after years of having an immature faith. See, a lot of times people have an immature faith and they won't grow it. And they're constantly, and that's why you'll see some baby Christians get aggravated. Well, you know, my faith used to work, but why ain't it working now? And it's not even baby Christians. It's Christians that have been in the church for a little while now. They're like, well, whenever I first got in, you know, my faith would work all the time. But now that I'm older, my faith ain't working. What's the deal? Well, have you been feeding it? Because whenever you first got saved, you was hungry. And so you was in the Word a lot. And so you were constantly feeding your faith. And so whenever you was believing God, it was easy because you were constantly feeding your faith. But then you're starting to get older and you're starting to get comfortable because you're starting to get the things that you're believing God for. And so complacency is setting in a little bit. And so you're like, you know, I mean, I can read today, maybe I can read tomorrow, next week, it'll be all right. And then we need to start believing God for things and it's not happening. And then we go, well, I wonder why it ain't working now. I mean, what's going on, God? And then we get confused. After years of having an immature faith, Abraham grew to fully trust what God says he will do, he will do. Amen. After God had promised Abraham to give him innumerable descendants, Abraham believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Amen. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And I love the part where it said that, let me continue on. All right. Initially, Abraham tried to help God keep his promise by suggesting that Eleazar be counted as his heir, right? And then by taking Hagar as his wife. But God's plan wasn't for either of the scenarios to provide the fulfillment of his promise. Amen, right? And then some years later, God tested Abraham's faith, telling him to take Isaac to Mount Moriah, and there was a horrifying, and that was a horrifying and grievous request. Yet Abraham started off in the morning to do exactly what God had told him to. Amen. Amen. And when they arrived at the right place, what was there? A ram. A lot of times we're not at the right place, and that's why we're not seeing the provision. See, Abraham got to the right place. He got to where God told him to go, and so the provision was there. A lot of times we're starting off, or we're not even starting at all, and we're looking for the provision, but it's where God told us to go, not where we're at. Amen. And we got to constantly be building our faith as we continually walk. Well, God should just be able to give me the faith to go that way. Well, he didn't with Abraham, and he didn't with a lot of people, actually, because I got quite a few notes here. And so it was up to them to build their faith, but he's wanting to know, look, are you going to continually move or are you going to stop? Whenever Jesus told them, let's go to the other side, his disciples, you know why Jesus said that? To see where they were at in their faith. He was wanting to see, look, let's go to the other side. That's why he went to sleep. Because number one, y'all been around me this long. Y'all should understand how faith and authority works. And so no matter what comes up, y'all should be able to handle it. I'm going to go to sleep. And what happened? Their faith still wasn't there. Because when a calamity or something showed up while they were going where God told them to go. See, and that's why it's so important to continually build your faith. Because if God tells you to move out, and you start moving and you're not building your faith up and you hit a test or a trial. That's Dr. Ricky was saying it so well, talking about the pressure, because Satan can put pressure on us as well. And a lot of people confuse that with, oh, well, that must be God's will whenever the pressure will release. Because Satan's going to put pressure on us as long as we're doing what God's asked us to do. He's going to continually put pressure on us. And some people get wore out by it, and so they'll start backing up a little bit and the pressure will start releasing. They'll be, well, maybe that wasn't the will of God, because now, you know, it's kind of a release now. Amen. There's no pressure now. But if God told you to go that way, why would the pressure release whenever you start walking backwards if God told you to go that way? That's why it's so important to find out, did God tell you or did he not? Did God tell you or did he not tell you? That's the thing. So we need to be careful with always running around saying, God said. Well, a lot of times it's just you perceive something. Paul said it the best way I perceived that the man had faith. He could just tell. He just knew on the inside of him, yeah, this is what I should be doing. He didn't hear God say, hey, do this. He just perceived, yeah, I should probably do this. Or maybe I need to go over here today. Right? That's like Pastor Barb said. She was sitting at the light. She perceived. She just knew, I need to get over here in this left-hand lane. Right? And how many times have we just, you know what? I need to do this right now. It's not God going, hey, you need to do that. You just know on the inside of you, yeah, I need to be doing this. But we got to constantly be building our faith so that we can constantly move where God's wanting us to move. You know, we're wanting to see the miraculous in everything. But are we building our faith at all? Are we? Because it's going to require the congregation as well because of the corporate anointing. The corporate anointing plays a lot more factor than a lot of people think. Whenever they were building the Tower of Babel, what did God say? He says, I got to confuse them because nothing is impossible to them now. Why? Because one person wanted to do it? Because they were all going, you know what? We're going to build this and we're going to get to God. Let's do it. There wasn't bickering. They probably didn't even talk about anybody else. They didn't talk about what the other churches were doing. They didn't talk about, you know, guess who left this church? Somebody asked Brother Clinton the other day, I heard you left Spirit Life Church. More people pay more attention to other churches than they do God, and it's a shame. It is. Well, if we focused all that attention on the God and the Word, I wonder how many people we can get into the kingdom of God. Amen. But we want to find out what all the other churches are doing. Why? Focus on me and let's do what God wants us to do. That's a big enough job in itself than me trying to figure you out.
That's right.
Amen. The right place, right? What'd I say? Yes, ma'am. God didn't reject Abraham because of his immature faith, right? He just kept giving him steps. All right, now move here. All right, now go over here. All right, now do this. All right, now do that. And it might feel like a long time, but the thing is, if he tells us to do something and we take it quickly, guess how long that next step is going to take now? Next thing we know, we're just making a move. We're just moving quick. But we got to be constantly building our faith up, though. We can't just disregard the Word of God at this point just because we're moving. You know, amen. God didn't reject or punish him for his immature faith. However, God did provide him opportunities to grow, and then he puts him to the test so he can demonstrate that growth. Abraham learned that God is faithful, and when he was unsure of how God was going to keep his word, we can be certain that he is faithful to keep what he says, right? To keep his word on what he says. Y'all know Abraham's 4:1. They were Numbers 13. I'm just going to read a few things to you. Numbers 13. We obviously read that a lot. You can read verse 1 and 2. God told them, look, you're going to Canaan's land, right? Yes. Amen. I agree. And then verse 28 through 31, that's when they were like, you sure it flows with milk and honeys. Nevertheless, right? And they were with God how long? Daily. Daily. Seeing the miraculous daily. So that lets me know that I can get into the Word and still not grow in my faith. If I want to. Just because you read the Word doesn't mean your faith will grow.
That's right.
All right. Amen. So, and then Y'all know that. And then that spot where they said, we be not able. They said that, we be not able. And I looked that up, just that phrase. And they were saying that they were unqualified and incompetent. Saying that whenever they said, we be not able, they're saying we're unqualified and incompetent. Not able also means lacking the ability, the means, or power to do something. Well, if you're looking at yourself, yeah, you are lacking the ability. But did God tell you to do it or not? And is He going to make you walk by yourself through what He asked you to do? So whatever God asks us to do, the ability will always be there. Always. Amen. Even although they were seeing the ability of God every day, they still lacked trusting God or believing God and what God said He would do. And that's why whenever they got to the hard spot, they were like, nevertheless, it's too much. We can't take it. There's giants there. We can't kill them. I know God said we could, but we can't. There ain't no way. There ain't no way. They got all these swords and chariots and walled cities. What we got? We got three dogs. Look at David. David, that's a great illustration of trusting God, right? And the way he did was he just got out in the pasture with the sheep and just fellowshiped with God and learned God. Yes. Learned Him. Yes. You can't tell me he didn't learn Him, because the man chased down a lion and a bear. Yes. How many of y'all are just chomping at the bit to chase down a lion and a bear right now? And then when the situation arose, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this uncovenant man that's blaspheming God and His army? Who is this? He knew who God was, and he knew God would not have him out in a battle and leave him by himself, especially when it's somebody coming against God and His people. He knew that. How do you know that if you don't know somebody? See, whenever Satan brings sickness and disease, see, people don't know God because, well, he's trying to teach me. No, he ain't. God loves you, and he sent his son to the cross. Why would he put something that on you that he already put on Jesus, his son? Why? What kind of crazy idea is that? Why would he want you to try to handle something that only Jesus could? We don't know who God is then. That's the thing. We don't know His character. We don't know who God is, our Father. Not a taskmaster. Our Father. Everything that He did for us, as kids, as heirs. See, that's the reality we need to start getting of who God is. So whenever sickness shows up, you're able to just go in. If it's on one of the kids or something, you're able to just walk in the room, take authority over it, and just move on. And not think about it one more time. Because you know for 100%, that does not belong in my house, and that does not belong on any of my kids. And it's not allowed here. Same thing with lack. Same thing with unforgiveness. Same thing with turmoil. Same thing with not peace, but what's another word I'm looking for? Craziness or whatever in the house. Not peaceful in the house. Drama. Choaz. Chaos. A lot of times we allow things and we go, it'll be all right. And we allow it to stay there for a while. A lot longer than it needs to be. And so we allow it to stay there, and then we become comfortable with it. And now our kids are like, well, we can handle that because, you know, they grew up with it. So now they're comfortable with it. And so now they're like, oh, it's all right. It's not that big of a deal. We got to take care of that stuff whenever it pops its head up immediately. Because who is our dad? We got to know who our dad is. We have to understand who he is and what he's done for us. Amen? We have to understand it. Amen. Well, it's 8 o'clock, so good luck and Godspeed. No, I'm joking. I told y'all that one already. Jesus told him to go to the other side. That's Mark 4, 35 through 41. And then Matthew 18, 21 through 23, where Jesus told him, look, I'm going to go die. And I'm just going to read it to you real fast. Matthew 18, 21, verse 23 in the NIV. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. Because Jesus is like, look, I'm going to go die and be crucified, but I'm going to raise up in 3 days. See, they were with him every day, and he didn't just talk about it one time. But yet, he still said, no, you ain't going to die. Whoever, you ain't dying, I'm here with you. Whoever tries to take you, we'll kill everybody. Right? So see, he didn't continually grow his faith, listening to Jesus, understanding what Jesus was doing. And so whenever the next step came up, he's like, there ain't no, you ain't going to die. That ain't part of it. We ain't going there. All right? And then in the NIV, I love it because Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. And you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. We could spend a lot of time on that. Yes. A lot of time there. Amen. Human reasonings overruled what God said and allowed doubt to come in. Or allowed doubt to come out. I'm going to read that again. I wrote that down. Human reasonings, because Peter said, no, you're not going to die, right? So human reasonings overruled what God said and allowed doubt to come out. Amen. See, but if you're so full of faith, doubt won't come out. The word of God will come out. Anytime something comes up, we've said it quite a few times, the first thing that needs to come out of our mouth is, what does the word of God say? What does the word of God say concerning this situation? What does the word of God say concerning this situation? And that right there will help you just clear up a lot of issues that are going on. Because now we're not looking to man or any hallelujah. Amen, yes, sir. Yep, amen. Thank you, Father God. I got that. Amen. All right. Did y'all get anything? You were right. Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you. Hallelujah.